Thank you.
Okay, this meeting of the Library Board of Control is called to order. I'll start with a roll call vote. Blankenship?
Here.
Boggs?
Here.
Cuevas?
Here.
Harper?
Here.
Hodges is absent. Lannan is here, and Poe?
Here.
There we go. So we have a quorum. The next thing to do is to look at the agenda and see if there's anything to amend. And Erin has put forward the 5 items that you see that she would like to add toward the bottom. Because we're waiting for a couple of participants, we're going to move through the agenda as much as we can in the proper order, but we may have to skip around a bit. So do I have a motion to approve the agenda as amended?
I move that we approve it.
Motion from Joe, do I have a second?
I second.
Mike Harper.
I've got a second from Mike. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Thank you. All right, so everyone got a copy of the minutes with their packet or in the email. Do I have any changes to the minutes? There being none, I entertain a motion to approve the minutes.
So moved.
So I have a motion and a second to approve the minutes from February the 1st, voice vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Looking around, I do not see that we have any public participation, but we will be having David Broussard.
Brosi.
Yeah, that one.
Do I count as public participation? As a staff member?
You're on the agenda for later, Julie, so you'll come in then.
Okay, understood.
But is she public or is she?
No, she's not really public participation.
Okay.
Erin, do you have some announcements?
I do, but I think I just let Mr. David into the room. Are you here, Mr. David?
Yes.
You want to flip your screen, Erin?
I'm going to stop my share. And
oh, okay, there he's muted.
Yes, I was muted.
Yeah.
Okay. You're next on the agenda, Mr. David. So if you wanted to talk for a little bit, I asked Mr. David, and I can't see who's with you. Is that the other Mr. David I see? Yep. Hey.
Yes.
So I asked them to join us today at our last board meeting. We had talked about looking into using a modular building to be able to move forward in a, I have a train going by, you guys. Mr. David, you want to just start talking while I mute myself?
Sure. So we met with Erin last week. And we just wanted to go through how to get the process started and how to move forward. I think she had given us a property survey. She also had begun the process of getting a driveway permit. So we had part of the paperwork that was submitted to DOT. And so we were going to use that to track down where the permit process was so we can maintain moving that forward. Sometimes that's a lengthy process. So the rest of it was that we were just going to begin preparing a contract to get started. And then we were going to get with modular building construction companies, lay out the library, we would get back with you guys, and put together a package where someone can actually put in a price to do the parking, the building, the driveway, and I think it's the sewer plant you have to put in. And that's where we are. Any questions?
Okay, so our next steps, if the board wants to move forward with this, because we had discussed it last time, it was just kind of a, we think this is what we want to do, but I wanted Mr. David here so we could make sure it really is what we want to do and before we pushed forward. Like he was saying, when we tried this last time, we got some work done, some of that survey work, the groundwork we needed to do before we could get very far. So we would need to get some of you, and I certainly would want you, especially Ms. Lynn, since this is for your area,
right,
to be involved in figuring out what we want this building to look like. Because I've got all our notes from when we discussed it 2 or 3 years ago. But it definitely needs to be looked at, make sure this is still the route we want to take before we move forward.
So David thinks that this is feasible to be within our budget, unlike the regular building?
Yes. And when we get, I say yes, but, so yes, it was. But currently the price of materials are skyrocketing. Even just saying I want to order something is, you know, 6 weeks out lead time. I have to get with the modular building people and see how they are set up to respond. And that's really going to be key. I don't know how responsive they would be. In my personal opinion, having been in the industry over 20 years, and seeing the economy and the national play, is that this is a short-term contraction in material shortage. Mm-hmm. It has to do with labor shortage. You know, it's like a wave.
Right.
It's got to build on itself, and it just doesn't happen instantly. And all of the suppressed construction from last year all of a sudden is coming out and heating, and people are wanting to build, economy's starting to pick back up. And at the same time, you don't have a backlog of material to build things because the plants have been running at reduced capacity. So now when they say build something, they gotta actually generate raw materials to build stuff out of. And so just to get that whole cycle winding up again, it's gonna take some time. So I'm not sure what your schedule is to actually finish, but we would begin by getting with modular building people and seeing what their time frames and constraints look like.
Sure. Okay.
Okay. When I was speaking to someone from one of the modular building companies, this was probably a month and a half to 2 months ago now, at that point he was saying 3 to 4 months is how long it takes from when you put your order in to when they could deliver your building. Now that was a couple of months ago now, so I couldn't say that that's the same situation at this point. He was saying that if we were looking at something like a 1400 to 1500 square foot building, he was thinking something in the $120,000 range. But that was taking into account buying through a consortia that it turns out we can't buy through. So I don't know how much of a price difference losing that buying power makes.
And that doesn't include any of the groundwork that we have to do in the drainage and the driveway and all that. Yeah.
No, it doesn't.
Okay. Well, it still is better than what we had before.
Yeah. By a large amount.
Yeah.
No, I got a question. We're still talking about Singer?
No. This one is East Beauregard.
Okay. That's what I was thinking, because I thought we decided on the building in Singer. Okay.
Right.
Thank you.
Yeah.
We bought that building. It's ours.
That's what I thought. That's why I was kind of like,
it's next on the agenda. Yeah.
Okay. Sorry.
So do you need a motion?
We need a contract with Mr. David's company for them to start working on this for us. And I would need approval for that. And I would need some of you to sign on to take part in the conversations for making those decisions for East Beauregard.
Does this go through the police jury? Or
they would kind of do the, oh, how do I phrase this? They would do the paperwork of putting the request for bids out on our behalf. But I think that's pretty much the only role they would play in this. Okay. The money comes from us, but they actually put out the call for bids when we request it of them.
Okay. Won't they ultimately own the building though?
They do. They own that property already. And so whatever we put on it would also be with that property.
Okay, I will entertain a motion to form a contract with this architectural group.
I move we do.
A second.
I have a motion and a second to contract with the, I'm sorry, I cannot pronounce your name.
Brosi.
Architectural group, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Excuse me? Did I, all opposed?
Oh, aye.
All right, so the ayes have it. What's next? I'm looking at, next is Singer.
Yes. No, announcements.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm yeah. Okay, what are your announcements?
Okay. We have a reminder that the financial disclosure forms are due by May 15th to the State Board of Ethics. Several of you have given me yours already, so I can turn that in with mine. For those of you who are on multiple boards, you only have to fill it out once. So if you filled it out with another one of your boards or with the police jury, you don't have to fill out a second one for us. But if you do want me to send in your form with the packet I'm sending in for myself and some other trustees, please have that to me by this Friday. I'm going to mail it out Saturday morning. Also wanted to remind you to watch your emails in the coming week. I'm going to be sending out the director's evaluation form that we do every year. I'm getting together a little write-up of things that we've accomplished in this past year to kind of help you with that. So as soon as I finish that, I'll be emailing that out. And please have those completed and back to Miss Angela by July 23rd so she can have it ready for our August board meeting.
And for those of you who are new to this process, the reason I need it ahead of time is because I consolidate all the answers and we give her one group answer. And so it takes me a while to type up all the different comments that you will make and what have you. So it takes me a bit of time, but I think it's well worth it because it gives her a much better flavor for what we say as a group than if we just gave her the numerical count, you know, the average numerical score. Mm-hmm. I think the comments are of great value.
Absolutely.
All right.
Okay. Old business, Singer.
Okay. Oh, one last thing before I move there. I'm sure you all heard the governor relaxed some of his statewide mandates. I really don't think that the provision that has allowed us to meet virtually since the COVID pandemic started is going to be extended anymore unless something changed drastically. So this is probably going to be our last virtual meeting, and I expect our August board meeting would be in person. So just wanted to give y'all a heads up on that. Old business. Okay. So the Singer project / the Beauregard Parish Police Jury's MCAL project, because they kind of tie together. So we did purchase the property and the two buildings on it. They are ours. They're in our name. That part's done. we've learned that the multi-agency facility proposal that the MCAL planning team is working on for the police jury, and I'm kind of helping them with that, give them the a Beauregard Parish input into that application. We've learned it is due in June. We could hear as early as July whether or not there is any funding coming from that application. If it does get funded, then it is possible that work on that project could happen as soon as summer of next year, depending on if it's funded, at what level it's funded, you know, who else needs to be putting money in, and are they in a position to do it at that particular time, all those good things. So when we looked, first started looking at buying this property, we were working with the theory that it's very central to the parish. It would be a good spot to do this multi-agency facility and have a library branch in it, have a place for the sheriff if he wants a substation there, have community meeting rooms, have a place for the tourist commission to have displays and kind of guide people through the rest of the parish that they haven't been to yet, all these sorts of things, and much, much more that would take a whole other meeting to go through. So if that comes to pass on a timeline of as early as next summer, potentially, I don't think it makes sense for us to do all of the things we were planning on doing to that front cinder block building to get a library branch in there, if they're just gonna come in possibly a year and either greatly expand that building into something that doesn't even look like it currently looks, or possibly knock it down and build from ground up. So my proposal is that we, short version of my proposal, is that we do the minimum of what we need to do to make it compliant and safe and attractive and efficient as a library building in the meantime. Because while it could start work as early as next summer, we don't have any guarantee that it will start work as early as next summer. And I really don't think any of us want to sit on this project and wait that long to get something new going in the Singer area. So I'm trying to kind of walk that line between getting that service station up and functioning and doing what we want it to do in the community, but not wasting our money in the meantime. So that's kind of where I am. And the form, the papers I sent you in your packet kind of detail what I'm looking at doing versus not doing. And the short version of it is, I don't think we need to, in that front building where we want the branch to be, I don't think we need to knock down walls and build more rooms. I think we can use that second building that for the time being is just ours, and we could use it as some storage if we need it, but there's plenty of room in there to also put any programs that we're having at Singer or any meeting requests for a meeting space. That can happen in that second building as well without building a meeting room in the front building. There are currently two single use, I guess, family style restrooms in that front building. We really only need one for a building that size, so why not turn the second one into a kind of janitorial closet for the moment, supply closet kind of thing, just lock it and use it as a closet, basically. And if they do need a kitchenette kind of thing, well, that second building has a kitchen in it. So we've got that worked out too. It does mean not putting a quote staff workroom in that front building at this point, but we'll make do without it for the time being. And if it looks like this MCAL project is going to take years and years and years, then we can revisit this and add what we need to in that building. I'd hate to go out and spend $150,000 redoing this building, and in 12 to 24 months, it gets torn down.
So Aaron, are you thinking
you would be
just
going in with paint and fix-ups, just what fix-ups you need to do, some paint, and then you would just move in some shelving and some, say, a desk or two? Is that basically it?
Some things we need to do before we move in include, we need better lighting in there and we need more electrical outlets in there. So we would have to bring in an electrician.
Mm-hmm.
The carpet in there is pretty disgusting. I would rip it out. If we don't want to put in new carpet, then maybe just stain the concrete and see what happens. We can always go in later and add carpet or whatever if we want to on top of it.
Well, on your bullet points here, you have some that are highlighted and some that are not. Are the ones that are highlighted are those things you wanted to go ahead and do, like remove the stage, update the electrical?
Okay, the one I'm looking at doesn't have highlights, so I'm sorry, I don't remember what the highlights
were. Well, they had darker bullets.
Oh, yeah, the lighter ones are just an indentation of the one above
it. Okay.
So yeah, we do need to, well, I would like to remove the stage. There's no railing on that stage, so I wouldn't want to just leave it there. Because, you know, if kids see a stage, they're going to run up and down off of it and try to jump off of it and all that good stuff. We need an electrician to update the lighting and the outlets. The ceiling in there is, it's ugly and it's got some stains from when before the roof was patched. Well, not patched, the roof was redone. But it's possible that painting over that with some kills or something will make it okay for the moment. Fresh paint would go a long way to making that place more welcoming than it is.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, those are cinder block walls and that would eat up a lot of paint. So that could get expensive. So kind of weighing that one out. There are a few things that we were notified of when we had the inspection done that need to be done to be code compliant, like raising the termination of those bathroom vents. They need to be above the roof line level and they aren't, and things like that. So those things need to be addressed as well. We do need to make sure that it's ADA compliant. It's a public building. We absolutely have to do that. There is a ramp mostly in existence going up to the double doors, but I'm not sure that it meets ADA. We would need to have that looked at. There's a ramp inside leading to the hallway where the bathrooms are. I'm pretty sure it's too steep to be ADA compliant, so that needs to be reworked.
I have a question.
Yeah, go ahead.
Why couldn't we use the little house behind? It's a lot bigger than what you're using now for the library.
It is a lot bigger. It doesn't have as good sight lines. So we would have issues with staff being able to keep up with everyone who's in the building. But if that's the route we want to go until we figure out what's going on with this other project, we can see about just, you know, installing locks on those other doors where we don't want people to go in the meantime and see what happens.
Would there be less modifications to use the smaller building temporarily?
I think we would still have to go make sure there's ADA compliance, because I'm thinking there are still some step ups to get onto the cement slab where it is.
But is electrical okay? You wouldn't have to do anything with that.
It's not good for a library setting.
Mm-hmm.
It's set up for a home, and what they would have to lock up is what in essence are bedrooms.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So really the only open space where we could put stacks would be what was used as the living room. And that's probably not going to let us put any more material in than our current space in that little tiny building. And it might even be a little less.
Would it be more feasible to knock out a few of the bedroom walls? It would be cheaper than the extensive changes to the cinder block building?
I don't know. I mean, it's, and we
I'm
know
not a carpenter either.
We know those walls aren't structural inside. So from that standpoint, we know that's doable. I have no idea what, you know, if the flooring was put down after the walls came in, I don't know what the transition between the different rooms looks like or anything like that.
Even putting windows in those bedrooms to where you could see in, the whole issue is that somebody could get up to mischief in those rooms. You could put windows in the walls.
It originally was a open building. They used it for a fellowship hall. And if we could get it back to, you know, that original type setting, that would be usable for a library. And I'm just wondering if that would be cheaper than working on the cinder block building.
Another question I would ask is, if you've made all those modifications to that second building and then this other project doesn't come through in a year, then you've lost possibly this building for individual meeting rooms and so forth. But I don't want to limit our, we just don't know what's going to happen in a year. That makes this difficult.
Do you remember what the square footage is on the little building?
Okay, so the cinder block building is 2,400 and the metal building, the one in the back, is 1,500.
Okay, so that would get it, if we knocked everything out, theoretically, we'd have 1,500 square feet.
Right.
Which is what it used to be, according to what Molly's saying, if it was a meeting hall.
Well, even down the road, you don't want that metal building to have individual rooms, do you? You would want it to be an open space because you don't want bedrooms set up.
If this, the MCAL police jury project doesn't come through, my intention, my hope is to get the sheriff's office using that back 1,500 square foot building as their substation.
Mm-hmm.
So they could have the kitchen slash living, what is currently the kitchen slash living room, as their public reception kind of area. And if they need those bedrooms for either offices, or I don't know if it's common in substations to have a bunk room in case someone needs to be there, you know, extended mm-hmm. time overnight or whatever, then that option would be there too for them. It's really, as it is better suited for offices than a big open mm-hmm. library-like building.
And as it is right now, it's actually suitable right now for individual meeting rooms as well. And you would lose that.
Yes.
What if you just took out one wall of that bedroom that is next to the living room and just kind of open that up and leave the other two bedrooms intact?
Maybe, yeah.
You know that room, that building, Molly.
I may just inject here that there may be a possibility of a perhaps rental opportunity in the future. We're entertaining a second ambulance service company that's attempting to come serve Beauregard Parish. And part of those requirements would be that they would need to have a facility in the parish. So if that happens, it may be an opportunity to also perhaps make some rent every month if there was some agreement with this area.
Yeah.
What Molly's proposing sounds like minimal damage if we...
if we just make that living area larger by taking out one bedroom and leaving two, I think that would be a lot more cost effective than major renovations on the cinder block building. I don't know. That's just my thoughts.
I think that sounds reasonable.
And we're hearing from the people who've seen it and who've been in there and both Lynn and Molly spent a lot of time there.
I would just say, don't forget, once it moves to a commercial property, it has to meet all current commercial building codes as well.
Say that again, David.
Once it becomes a commercial property, it has to have a commercial business in there. Is that what you were saying?
Code. It'd be up to a commercial code.
Building codes.
Yeah, we're going to have to put plans before the fire marshal. We're going to have to change the use, occupancy use, or whatever they call it. And he'll have to approve that, as well as, I think they also do ADA compliance approval at the state fire marshal's office, don't they? I did talk to them on the phone last week to see if they needed full-blown blueprints or just a floor plan, or what kind of plans they needed to do that. And they said they really just needed the basic floor plans drawn out, and we would need to let them know how we're going to be using these buildings so that they can make sure the occupancy ratings match whatever. It also impacts whether or not we have to put a sprinkler system in these buildings. The architect at their office that I spoke to said that both of these buildings sound small enough that the occupancy would be small enough that we would not have to put a sprinkler system in. So that's good news right there. So that's...
David hasn't looked at these buildings, right?
David has, actually. David were, they went out there for us and did the evaluation before we made the offer to say, is it even feasible to do what we're looking at doing within our budget? But because this police jury MCAL project has the potential of moving so quickly, and they've already got another architect working on that project, I talked to David a couple of weeks ago now, and it's not done to have one architect come in and do something that we're going to possibly be tearing down.
Right. I just wondered their thoughts about which building for us to kind of fix up temporarily.
I'm thinking the front would be an easier path forward. In the back, you could say, this is what we want for us. And then you end up with a whole other laundry list of things required, because it's now a commercial property. It has commercial building code upgrades that become required. And I would be concerned about that.
Okay. That the first building doesn't need, because they already
Correct.
Have it. Okay.
Correct.
Okay. Well, why don't we do that? Why don't we just go with your original plan to modify the first building as little as we can and make it appealing and useful until we know more about the MCAL project.
Does that sound okay to everyone?
I'll take a motion to that effect, that we move forward with the plan for the larger building.
I second that motion.
Do I have a primary motion? Joe, are you making
yes.
the motion?
Yes.
Okay. And Beth, you're
sorry.
Seconding.
No, it's okay.
So just a voice call. Just voice all in favor.
Aye.
Aye. Okay.
Aye.
And Aaron, what do we have as costs or obligations as far as the property that we're vacating?
When we are out of that building, I would like to put the building itself in one of the surplus auctions that the parish does once or twice a year to get it moved out of there. The land, of course, we don't own. We're kind of doing a month-to-month lease without money changing hands with the property owner. So really, we would just need to give her, I think 30 days is what we are legally required in our current setup, but I would say more like 90 feels better than 30 to just let her know, we're going to be out of there. Thanks for helping us all these years.
Yeah.
Well, maybe you ought to go on and give it to her now if we can have that building ready in 3 months.
Well, we're going to need, let me ask you guys this. I would like to have Molly for sure, and preferably one more of you with me kind of going over, these are the things we definitely want to do now. The price range we're looking at is well under $250,000, which is the limit of when you have to do a true bid out process for public works. So we could do a somewhat less official RFP process to get a contractor to do this. Or technically at this late level, if there is a contractor we really trusted and liked working with, we could just choose a contractor to go with. I think the RFP process is a more valid process. And I don't have any contractors in mind that I would say, oh, let's go with so-and-so. So I think that is probably the better way to go. And so that process does add time onto it. We've also got to consider that we use E-rate funding for a large portion of our internet access at all of our locations. Moving this location is not cheap as far as the internet supply goes. However, we have applied for E-rate funding to take over 80% of that cost. But that funding year doesn't start until July. So it would be July before we have internet at this location, and you can't run a library without internet right now. So it would be July at the absolute earliest that we would be able to move in. July seems like it's right around the corner though. So that's not.
That's 3 months
right there.
Well, it's 2 months from now would be in July.
Yeah. So I would.
Lynn or Beth, do you have an interest in helping with the project?
I still do. Yeah.
Good. Great. Thank you.
All right. So I'll get with you, Miss Beth, and you, Miss Molly, and we'll find a time to meet probably out there at the site and kind of go over what all we want so we can start making those inroads.
Okay.
Okay. Anything else on that? Is there anything else on the police jury project that you want to tell us about?
That is, I think it's picking up momentum as far as the application project goes. Mr. Mike and I actually went last Thursday and met with the MCAL people and their architect, and I've got their architect coming by tomorrow along with the police juror from out there in the Singer area to kind of talk about design and all that good stuff. So it's moving along. I'll write up kind of where we are in that process and send that to all you guys. So since it's not really a library project, I don't want to take up too much of the library board meeting time on it, but
I just meant as it applies to what we're doing.
Yeah. That's it. There's a question mark on timeline that's throwing a monkey wrench in things, but that's all right. We've got progress going.
Okay, we move on to the LEH grant, Historic Louisiana Tools and Crafts Series.
Right, so that was the grant we got from Louisiana Endowment for Humanities. We are doing a series of four programs throughout the year in this Historic Tools and Crafts Series. The first one we did was on quilting. We held it on April 17th and had a lady from the Calcasieu Cut Ups Quilting Guild come lead a demo on basics for quilting. And the local quilt guild, the Common Threads DeRitter Quilt Guild, had a beautiful display that they let us display some of their quilts here in the library for the week leading up to it. And it was gorgeous. It was very well received. Part of what we wanted to do and said in our application for this grant that we wanted to do is have in-person demonstrations, but also have a virtual component for those who either just couldn't make it because of their schedule, or for those who are maybe there's higher risk for COVID and they're still staying home a lot, you know, whatever the case may be. So this quilting one was our first, I guess, joint program, for lack of a better term, where we did have an audience there in person, and we were also live streaming it on Facebook Live. So we had 7 people in the room, and one of our staff members was in her office kind of monitoring the Facebook side of things, making sure it was going smoothly. And I think we had 10 total viewing while it was live, but those those recordings stay accessible after the live portion ends. And between April 17th and then whenever I, right before I sent out the packet to you on April 22nd, that video had been viewed 725 times. So it's, and that doesn't mean everybody sat and watched the whole hour and however many minutes, but it definitely shows an interest in it. So it was really exciting. I think it went very well. And we have, as part of the grant process, we have an independent program auditor who has to go to at least one of these 4 programs. And she was at this one. And she sent back her review. They have a little form that they have to fill out. And it was absolutely glowing. She really enjoyed it and said a lot of good things. And it was a very fun program. I think it engaged a lot of people. Several of us in the audience, you know, stayed afterwards and asked more questions and just were really interested in the topic and engaged. So it went really well. We've got our second program in the series coming up in June 19th at 9:30. And it's again going to be in person and broadcast. And that's going to be on flint knapping. So that one's another historic Louisiana activity we're going to explore. So that one's
exciting. Erin?
Yes.
I enjoyed the quilting seminar very much. I thought the lady was very personable, and I enjoyed it.
I really did too. And I was so glad you came. I thought it was a very nice morning. And oh, while we're on that, little side note here, big thanks to Molly, because when she came to this, she brought a giant paper bag full of seeds to add to our traveling seed library. So I think she bumped up our collection by about 2,000%. The next thing I wanted to tell you guys about on our agenda. Oh, bye guys. Thank you so much.
Thank you for coming.
The next thing I wanted to tell you guys about, or ask you about, is more like it. We mentioned earlier there's been a change in the statewide mandate as far as masks goes. He's relaxing some of the occupancy limits whenever masks are enforced and that sort of thing. So there is a question of whether or not masks should still be required in library facilities. I am for that personally, and I encourage you to keep it as the status quo for the time being, but it is something that a local board could determine. The state library is encouraging, of course, that you check with your other local governments to see what they are. So while we have you, Mr. Mike, I wanted to ask if the police jury has addressed this yet, or if you've got any idea which way they're going to go.
I have asked that we just simply leave it to the person visiting the building to determine if they want to do that. I don't want to force anybody to wear a mask, because I think the majority do not. So that's the approach that I've taken to it, was if you want to wear a mask, go for it.
Okay.
If I may, I'm a healthcare provider, and I guess I go in the other direction. I don't quite think it's time. We haven't hit herd immunity. I'm concerned about it still, and we've got this variance, and we're seeing some problems. So I still have concern with it. I'd like to see the mask stay.
I agree, Beth, because our vaccination rate is very low in Borgard right. Parish, and that's just a means for protecting our community.
I agree.
Okay. Do we want a motion on whether or not to maintain?
Yeah, I'll entertain a motion on whether we maintain a mask requirement in the library.
I still move that.
I second that.
Beth moves and Joe seconds. I'll take a voice vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
I oppose, Mike Arpa.
Okay. You're talking to a heavy-duty mask wearer here, I have to tell you. Even I just didn't wear it in the house today, but I just think about it everywhere else.
I wear mine all day long at work and anytime I go anywhere.
We even, there are meetings that I attend live that we still wear masks, and we, I have learned which masks you can project your voice better through and just use that, you know, there's, but, I think our senior population is kind of vulnerable.
I do too. I think we're going to get there without the mask, but we're not there yet.
Not yet.
I think it's definitely coming that we will go back to a no requirement, but like I said, I'm personally in favor. Okay.
How are your employees doing in that regard?
Most of them are fine with it. I do let my staff, you know, if they're going to be in a private office away from people, not having people walking in and out, and they want to take theirs off for a while, I don't object to that. I don't have a problem with that. But if anybody comes in your office, or if you're going to be walking down a hallway or whatever, if you're in a public part of the building where you've got a lot of people potentially walking by, we're requiring them.
And yeah, I've got acceptance.
I do think that's the secret is having a chance to take it off once in a while.
Yeah. How about vaccines for the staff? Have most of them gotten them or not?
I'm not asking them. Just, you know, office chit chat. I know quite a few have. I don't know if we're at 50% or more yet, but I know several of them have. And I know a few of them aren't interested in getting it. There's a lot to think about in regards to ever requiring it. At this point, I am not in favor of ever getting there to require a staff member to be vaccinated for the kind of work we do. I don't think legally you can at this point, but I imagine at some point the question's going to come up. And
nationally we've hit a standstill as far as numbers going up. I think we've hit that point where people say I do and people say I don't. And I'm not sure we're going to stay there for a while.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah. We need a crystal ball.
Yeah.
Okay. Moving along. I think we're getting into the part of the agenda that you amended.
Yes. Okay. So the COVID was an amendment. Also wanted to tell you real quick, the last thing we've got under old business, at our last meeting, both Lynn and Angela volunteered to be part of the logo/brand refreshing committee. That committee has had no movement yet, but I've got staff coming on board right now. So expect an email in the next week or two, trying to get a poll together for when is a good time for that committee to meet. So that one's just about ready to start meeting. So I wanted to give you all a heads up on that one. And then I think that was it for old business. So we're ready for new business.
Okay, new business. The first thing you've got is the summer reading program.
Right. So our theme this year is Tales and Tales. So we've got wagging tales and story tales there. So we're doing an animal thing. As usual, we're going to run our program June 1st through July 31st. Some of the things we're doing this year, of course, it's do reading logs and earn prizes. We've got them for kids, teens, and adults. We are going to do weekly grab-and-go activity bags, again, for kids, teens, and adults. We are looking at partnering with the city of DeRidder and the police jury and the South Bow Rec District and the Chamber of Commerce to have several different story walks throughout the parish. Mm-hmm. A few of those, like especially the one down in South Beauregard at that Purple Heart walking trail right mm-hmm. by the overpass. We did one last summer and had a really good response and enjoyed it a lot. They're still doing a lot of cleanup from the storms. So we're waiting until closer to get the go ahead or the we can't do that this year from them. They're interested in it. We're just waiting to see if it's viable. And the same thing with the police jury. There's a small walking track, like just an oval walking track right outside Singer that we're talking to them to see if we can put something there or not. So that one's, haven't heard back on that one yet either, but we're looking forward to that. And then we're looking to do one at the dog park here in DeRidder and at the Imagination Park that's kind of catacorner from the library here in DeRidder as well. We're also working with several businesses in the area to do a scavenger hunt, a month-long scavenger hunt. I don't know if it's going to be June or July, but basically it's go through and find the word that we'll have them put on their front window. And when you accumulate all the words, you unscramble them to make a sentence and get a little prize for it. So we're working on that. We are bringing in some guest presenters or performers. We've got Leslie Lambert from Glass Flowers is going to come do a flower arranging class for adults. We've got Jibo, who is sometimes a clown, but this time he's not a clown. He's bringing his animals to do a presentation for the kids. And we are trying to get either a petting zoo or the magic poodle performers to come back for the kids. So we're working on that one. And this year we're doing something new. We're working with a company called Checkers TV to do a weekly, once a week, basically it's a TV episode, a library themed, reading themed TV episode that goes out on our website, our Facebook page, that sort of thing. And we've opted to do the version of it where we can actually insert a short, like 30-second segment featuring our staff and promoting our specific library and our events and that sort of thing. So I told you our program is 8 weeks, June 1st through July 31st. This television series actually has 12 episodes, so it's going to run all the way through the end of August. And we'll just have the story finish out in August, which is usually a pretty slow month for our programming staff to kind of take a break after the madness of summer reading program. So I think that's going to work out well. So that's what we're planning for summer reading. And let's see, next we had the tech plan, and that is what Julie is here to talk about. So I'm turning it over to her.
Hi, everybody. So Erin sent you the tech plan, and it's a project that she had me lead. I took help from various staff members, our information technology team, but not only them, a variety of people in our library, such as members of the programming team, the frontline clerks, our shelver. We did some surveys and organized our priorities. A tech plan usually lasts for 3 years. And even though it's May right now, this helps us get our ideas in motion. One of the things that I really wanted to focus on with the tech plan, well, there were several things. The plan is organized in a similar way to the strategic plan that we already have. So the new mission statement that we agreed upon, the values, those things are part of the tech plan so that everything that we do is unified, that no matter what different documents we have, we are using the same message. So I wanted to be sure that we put that as an important thing. And one of the other things that was important in the plan and ongoing is to emphasize ongoing feedback. That was part of the strategic plan, and we are working on ways with our technology, both high tech and low tech, to maintain and encourage communication with our public so that if we are serving them, we're really giving them what they want and not what we think they want, because there is a difference. And so with the information that we get back, we hope to update that and keep it as an ongoing document that guides how and what we do and that we're serving our people. Joe, you're muted.
Yeah. So Erin and Julie, I just had a question. I wouldn't have really thought that this fell under that, but it's been in the back of my mind. You know, on page 3, you talk about maintenance and disaster preparedness. And I'm just not sure that we as a board shouldn't kick around at some point the library, the DeRidder branch, getting a generator so that they could keep things going when we have our next hurricane or have a major power outage. I don't know. Have you ever looked into that, Erin?
You're talking about like a whole building generator?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It also crossed my mind after the last hurricane season.
Right.
Go figure. I've given it some thought. I think that it is worth exploring. I think if we do it, probably a natural gas generator is the way to go, since we do have a natural gas system in town, and it eliminates the need to try and have a
propane tank
or anything else here on site.
Right.
So I think that is worth exploring. If we're talking something that big, and these are very rough numbers, keep in mind, I think we're probably looking at $250,000 to $300,000 by the time it's all said and done for the generator, and then getting everything plumbed into it, if you want to
call it that. How many square feet do you have there?
I believe we're at 17,500 or thereabout.
Okay.
So
I just know that it was a real benefit to those of us who went way long time without any internet or power to be able to go up through the library and use the resources. And I know that you're within the block of the hospital, so y'all usually come back home first, but I think it was a week this time, and I know it was a week the last time, so that still is... I don't know if that's something that we want to delve into further as a, you know, public service body to be able to provide internet activity. Would our internet be available? Is ours private or is ours hooked to Suddenlink?
It's not Suddenlink, but it is through a company called Conterra is who does it now. And that's through I think we're on a 3-year contract with them that ends next year. So whether or not it will be them after next year, I couldn't tell you right now.
But y'all came back up pretty quickly, didn't you?
Fairly quickly, but there was a few days when we had the generator running, but internet still wasn't up. And we were getting very mixed messages from the ISP, the internet service provider, as to why. Because what they were telling us at one point was, oh, well, the battery backup or whatever it was at the school board must have gone out and our link died there between the supply and here at the school board. But then whenever we talked to them later and said, okay, what would it take to not be routed through there? They said, well, you're not. And it's like, well, then your answer makes no sense.
Right.
So we need to get more information on that, because mm-hmm. I would hate to spend the kind of money we would need for this if our intent in doing so is to bring internet services back up quickly and then not have that happen as a result.
Yeah, I think the plan, I mean, what I would think the goal would be is to have the main library there be internet independent and back on as quickly as possible, and electricity back on so that people could come in and, if nothing else, access it for their disaster preparedness or for contacting family members that are, you know, across the country or something by email, you know.
Yeah, file an insurance claim.
Right, right.
Yeah, so we do need to.
Are there grants for that?
Set up and probably could be set up in the future, because I know Mr. Mike is working on a couple of ideas, one of which is to have a parish owned public internet provider for a couple of miles stretch in town. So that might change things also.
Is there any kind of disaster grant money that would help public entities acquire a generator or partially help fund it? I mean,
there is money available through FEMA, but I don't know if libraries would be considered necessary equipment to FEMA. Mm-hmm. We can delve in and find out.
There might be worth checking in. I mean, you know, because we would provide the internet services and you'd be able to provide,
a place to sit and do it.
Yeah. And be in the air conditioning. And
right.
Yeah. And I can tell y'all my experience when Suddenlink went down after the hurricanes this past year. I was pushing for them to at least get their office that they'd closed here in DeRidder back up. Right. So people could at least communicate with insurance agents and things like that. But it kind of proved that we really can't depend on some company to have our best effort at heart.
No, so, you're right.
We have kind of jumped out and we're pursuing some projects, and we're really hoping you may notice some renovations going on at the old gym that belonged to the First Baptist Church. And we have joined in on a project there that may require a lot of internet speed. And so if this project works out, we may have our own little high-speed internet set up.
We really wouldn't pitch this as being for the library. I mean, you're saying FEMA doesn't think that's a high priority. It's really the place where it would be available to the public.
Right.
That's correct. I agree with you. I just don't know where FEMA,
right,
when they talk about funding, you know, post events, how they rate a library. But we can actually look in and try to ask those questions.
Who would need to do that, or how would we go about doing that?
Well, we have asked our former emergency preparedness director, Glenn Mears, to pursue a grant for us.
Okay.
So he is still working very well for the parish in retirement. And of course, Scott Greenman is our current director, and Glenn and him have worked well together all their lives. Mm-hmm. So I feel like that's probably the two that we should involve and see if there's some kind of funding. And even if we don't say it's for a library, we say it's for a community center.
Right.
You know, something like that. It just happens to be our library.
Right. Because we do function as a community center for a lot
that's
of things.
Right.
Yeah.
I'll also look into some possible funding opportunities from the National Network of Libraries of Medicine has several grant opportunities, and I cannot for the life of me remember, you know, what level of funding we're talking about here, but it seems like that several of theirs are about public safety and outreach for public health and that sort of thing. And we could make a very strong case for this being an outreach with public health implications. So let me look at that one too.
Yeah. Okay. Well, whatever we can pursue, I think it's worth checking into. Did City Hall purchase a generator? Are they on generator now or not?
I don't know. They've always had one for the ever since after Rita.
Okay, because they've got the police department there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you, Joe. Great idea.
Thank you, Mike. So do we need to have any action on this proposal from Julie?
It's just a for your information, let you guys know kind of what our planned trajectory of work is in regards to the tech plan for the next couple of years.
And Erin, can you just tell me in a sentence or two what Savannah and Orange Boy are?
Yes.
I was like, I don't know these people.
All right. Orange Boy is a company name. Savannah is the product they produce that we subscribe to. And it is a product we started subscribing to
2 years ago, I think.
2 years ago. And it is used for easily gathering strategic data. So things like our card number counts and how many of them are checking out like children's level picture books versus only using digital services versus, you know, that kind of thing.
Okay, a data collection.
It also has a component of email messaging to targeted groups of your clientele. So it helps with kind of targeted marketing. So it's kind of it's got different modules in it that we are slowly taking more and more advantage of as we learn how to use the product. But it came about after we started doing our current strategic plan.
Right.
Realizing these are some things that would help us if we could track more easily.
So we haven't used the email component yet.
We do. We have not used it to its full extent.
Okay. Well, thank you, Julie, and your team for all your work.
Thank you very much.
Good job. Okay, you've got the agenda, Erin, so you're going to have to.
Okay. All right. So we amended the agenda to add talking about the 75th anniversary committee. Next December, so December of 2022, is going to be the library's 75th anniversary. So I have asked some of our staff to kind of form a committee, get together, start tossing around ideas of how we can celebrate that. Both, you know, like a year-long celebration, some activities we can do, or literature we can produce, or whatever that ends up being, as well as, you know, some discrete celebrations. I assume we'll have an open house very near the actual anniversary date to kind of celebrate with the community, that sort of thing. But I've asked them to form a committee. I wanted to ask you guys if any of you are interested in sitting in on that committee. So that we can start kicking around those ideas, trying to formulate a more reasonable than pie in the sky plan, but still ambitious. So we can have some time to plan ahead. I think not only is it important to celebrate a milestone like this, but we are also planning to go to the public, to the polls, to renew funding sometime next year. So I think tying in the two is an opportunity we should take.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to let you guys know that that is coming up and offer, you know, there's a seat or two with a trustee's name on it if y'all want it.
And Erin, the DeRitter Study Club probably would be glad to help with refreshments. I know they've done that before. You know, they were kind of instrumental in getting the library started to begin with, I think, 100 years ago. So
that's a good idea.
Oh, I'll volunteer for that one. I haven't gotten on SurveyMonkey, but I'll volunteer for that one. One of the things, Joe, that I was particularly interested in throwing into the mix for the 75th anniversary is a genealogy project. I think it'd be a good time to launch that.
Okay.
Nice.
I'd love to see if somebody.
That's where my eyes kind of brightened when I saw that. I thought, oh, this is the prime time to be throwing that in there.
Well, and if we could have some kind of storyboard that somebody could make and put together with maybe the history of the library with pictures and things like that, that's always interesting. And it could be up all year on one of those little boards that kind of moves around. I think you have maybe use of those.
Might be interesting to find some of the families in the parish and follow and get some of their stories. You know, there's mm-hmm. all things that would be fun. Yeah.
Tie in with Alana, she seems to like to do that. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
But what I was particularly thinking about, we've talked more than once about having people bring in their Bibles and family Bibles and getting the genealogies of the local families, you know, things
scan those in.
Mm-hmm. yeah there's mm-hmm. there's all kinds of little things that mean a lot to people that we could do.
Church, some of the local church records to be scanned in, because they'll get big churches and big cities, but not small towns as much. And those have church membership rolls and baptismal records that could be scanned in.
Oh, that's a cool idea. Yeah.
Do we have any other genealogy buffs besides Joe and myself, Beth?
I'm interested in it, but yeah, I'd be glad to help.
No, I just didn't know if you were into genealogy.
No, but I like the idea of a program, because Leesville did one several years ago, and I wanted to get over there to take it. I would love to take one. Yeah. I like the idea.
Yeah. We might even be able to bring somebody in from Calcasieu to do a class or two. Mm-hmm.
Right, yeah. From their library.
I like the idea.
I may mention that, you know, now you can look at the 1940 census on the federal website.
It's been released.
You can actually see the handwritten page where they recorded all the individuals in the home, what ward of the parish they were from, and all those things.
Well, we've seen them for the previous censuses, but that's a new one. That's a new release. Because I don't think they release them for, is it 70 years?
I think so.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Really cool. Okay. Then I will, I'll add your name, Miss Angela, to that. And Miss Beth, did you say you wanted to be on the 75th anniversary?
Okay. Yeah.
Cool. Then I'll add yours too. Y'all can be on the lookout for that one, that email too, as far as when is a good time to meet. So that one's coming at you soon. The next thing on the agenda, I just got brought to my attention this morning. In DeRidder, y'all know landscape is not my thing. I will kill a plant as soon as look at it. Not because I want to, it just happened. But out front in DeRidder, between the Patriot parking lot and the front doors, there are those large shrubs along the wall. And we had our, I don't know what they are. I'm calling them shrubs. but our landscape company was here this morning. They brought me out there and they said, look, we've got these kind of bald spots in them where the plants are just dying naturally. These are all supposed to be a variegated variety, and they're all going back to no variegation. They're reaching their end of life. So at some point, we're going to need to decide, do we pull them out and put some other plants there? Do we try to put some seeding there? We need to figure out what we're going to do. It's not a we need an answer right now thing, but I am going to need some direction on how y'all want to go.
I'll do that one.
Look at, I figured you would.
That's my thing. I'll do that one. And I already know what bush I would put on there.
Oh, good.
I would pull everything out and put some pittosporum in there is what I would do. I mean, that's easy.
Works for me.
Or the shishi, Sasanquas, the shishis, they're low growing. and they're like a camellia. They bloom in the winter, but they have evergreen leaves on them all the time. So that's another one that's
that would be an idea. Yeah.
Easy maintenance.
Y'all are so handy to have around. Okay, then yeah, I'll get back with you guys so we can make a plan and talk to the landscaper and say when do we want to do this and all that good stuff.
I'll get you on the phone when they're I think it's a no brainer. Just pull everything out and put in a low growing bush. And if you want some ideas, Joe and I can chime in.
That sounds ideal to me. I like the idea of trying to get some more seating out there, a couple benches or something, but obviously it would mean pouring some cement or something so that it's accessible to everyone. Because right now, I mean, there's something growing in it, so obviously it's dirt down there.
Well, but it wouldn't be covered, so I don't know that it would be that useful. What do you think? I don't know.
Yeah, I think the easiest solution is definitely plant something else back there. Mm-hmm. And we did just 2 years ago add that bench at the front door that is in a covered area that the study club donated. So we do have seating outside.
I'll ask Susan Hamm what she thinks. It'll be free.
That's a good idea. Great idea.
There you go.
Remember, we also have those four brick pillars coming in for power service.
Yeah.
Along the sidewalk.
Should be getting that.
Yeah.
I haven't heard from them what their timeline is, but I know we did say.
That's right. But
we approved it. And then they were going to go talk to you guys at the jury, Mr. Mike. Did y'all approve it too?
Yes, we did.
Okay.
But they're supposed to be low and not be that obtrusive. You know, I don't know that that's going to. And it's between the sidewalk and the road.
Make them the same color green as the bushes.
Well, it's not going to be near the bushes. It's going to be out by the road so vendors can use them when they're having street parties. Right?
Yeah.
Okay. Tearing up Aaron's lawn.
Okay. Well, that was everything before we get to just the standard reports that we go over every time, unless y'all had something else you wanted to talk about before we get there. Okay. The first report I sent out was what I call the activities report. It's got a note on there. Our PR and marketing coordinator resigned back in March. She had a wedding coming up and a lot of personal stuff, then she just needed to focus on that. So I am contracting with a company owned by the woman who was our PR and marketing coordinator prior to the one who just resigned. So she is doing a great job. We've contracted for 20 hours a week. And I told her whenever we started this, you know, I'm not good at judging how long it will take someone who designs things professionally to design a publication or whatever. So if I'm way off in how much work I'm sending you and thinking this will take about 20 hours a week, I need you to let me know one way or another. And we've always had a good enough working relationship that I am comfortable that she would say, hey, I'm sitting here twiddling my thumbs. And what's actually ended up happening is a few of the weeks she's just sent me an invoice for fewer than the 20 hours because we ended up not using all of them. So I think it's going really well. Since I had, when we did the budget, intended our PR and marketing person to be an employee as opposed to a contractor, we might need to do some amending to the budget as far as personnel expense versus operational expense. I'll know more as we move through the year on that, but just be aware that that's probably going to be coming.
Where's this person's company located?
She is out of it's either Moss Bluff or Sulphur. I want to say it's Moss Bluff.
Okay. And she's still out in the area.
Yeah. The reason she resigned when she did was her home was destroyed twice by the hurricanes. And so she was planning on leaving the area and going, I think to Tennessee and working there. And that just ended up not happening. So she but she didn't want to come back as an employee or work full time for us because she does have this business that basically does the same kind of work that we were asking. So she's we're contracting for it.
But now she's not the one that's going to redesign the website, correct?
I don't think so. We haven't decided who's doing that yet.
Okay.
I'm sure she'll be part of that committee and looking at it and giving thoughts on how it looks and how it functions, but we haven't assigned who's getting that project.
But you're going to contract out that. It's not going to be done in-house, right?
I hope we're going to contract it out. We're weighing pros and cons of it. I want to contract it out. There are some.
We haven't had good luck when it's done in-house, I don't think.
You know, I don't think we have either.
It takes somebody that knows that does this all the time, and your regular staff have regular other duties that they're need to do.
Yeah, the challenge right now is finding someone who will do that, who will design it and create it, or work with us to design and then create it, and leave it where we're still hosting and we're still able to update.
Right.
Because most times the larger companies that do this want to host it on their own thing and do all these proprietary measures. So we're trying to find that person who can do it for us and then let it go.
I asked my daughter-in-law about it because she kind of does some of this. And she said she wondered whether Stan Levy and his team would be interested in it. This is the Levy's that lived here. It's their oldest son, and he has advertising in Baton Rouge, and he does websites for people. So, she could ask him whether that would be something that he would be interested in. But I think that he does those kind of projects where it's a done and let go of kind of thing. You know,
it's worth asking.
Yeah, I'll ask her to send me the information so I can send it on to you.
Perfect, thank you. Okay, we've also got a list of various outreach activities we've done, some notes on the facilities. Our Singer branch, the current Singer branch, we had the roof replaced. We don't have a tarp over there anymore, thank goodness. And the building has been leveled. Here in DeRidder, the column on the north side of the building that had some impact damage from the hurricane has been repaired. We had 3 AC units go out at the same time here in DeRidder, so we had those repaired as well. And we're keeping our fingers crossed that that puts us in good stead for the rest of the summer. We'll see how it goes. Did want to mention that on April 12th, we did close about an hour early because there was a water mains break somewhere in the city that just totally wiped out our water pressure. And it didn't seem sanitary to stay open the rest of the day. Some notes about various partnerships that we have done and are looking forward to doing. We worked with the LSU Ag Center and the Calcasieu Soil and Water Conservation District. They came in and did 2 quick little sessions on, they called it a garden short course, just kind of a 101 on starting your garden. And they gave out little starter kits to those who attended. So that was nice. Mentioned earlier about the quilting program and the partnerships we used there. Did want to mention that our teen program coordinator, Amanda George, was selected to win a $1,500 credit for our library's account with Ingram, who was one of our book suppliers. It was one of those things where if you're attending a certain webinar, your name gets put in a raffle. And so she won a $1,500 credit for us. So that was very exciting.
Yes.
And since she does do our teen programs, I think our plan is for her to get with Julie and try to identify some graphic novels that are appropriate to that age range and use the $1,500 to kind of beef up that collection.
We plan on doing that tomorrow.
Good deal. We've also got some upcoming partnerships in the works. We mentioned earlier a with Alana over at the museum and her scanning days. She's reached out and wants to do some in Singer and South Beauregard. So I'm waiting to hear from her on when she wants to do those, and we'll partner to have those at the library branches there and do some promo leading up to it so people know they can bring in old photos or old documents or old Bibles or whatever and have them scanned so that the local museum is kind of building up its digital archive and at the same time offering some form of preservation to the actual items that, of course, the owners keep. So that's exciting. Looking forward to that one. I'm also working with the Region 5 Department of Health Services coordinator. We're trying to get a COVID vaccine pop-up site at the Singer branch. Right now, it looks like that's scheduled for May 22nd with a follow-up on June 19th. I think this one is no appointment required. It's just a drive up. I'm waiting to get more details on that, but looking forward to see how that goes through. And then we're also trying to get a sort of mini virtual program series in May. It kind of evolved as things went through, as they tend to do. We started off with the idea of a couple of series with guest presenters from the health field talking about how to be a good self-advocate in terms of your health. And it kind of evolved from there. So right now what we're looking at, we've had a lady from the Beauregard Prevention Coalition talk about prescription drug misuse and safe disposal of prescription drugs and that sort of thing. So that's gonna be a short video we'll share. We're working with Dr. Jones that Joe suggested to see about a Q&A on the COVID vaccine. And we're trying to work out now. He said he recently did like a panel with several other health professionals. I think it was for AmeriSafe, and they recorded it. So we're trying to decide if we're just going to share that recording, if AmeriSafe and everyone's okay with it, or if we're going to try to do something live or whatever. So trying to get something going there.
Well, maybe you could even show the video, but then have a Q&A if anybody wanted to have questions after, you know. I don't know how that would work, but
yeah, we're trying to figure it out at this point. So we're looking at that, trying to see what information we can share about the Agape Health Clinic here in town. I don't know how well that is known, you know, how well those services are known in the community. I know about it because I work down the street from it and see the line every Thursday. But other than that, I don't know that I would know about it. So trying to see if we could get someone from there to share some information. We've reached out to, I think, all of the local pharmacies to see if they wanted to have a really short clip about either demoing their app, if they have an app, and how to use it, or, you know, talk about some aspect of using their services. And so far, every one of them has said thanks, but no thanks. So we might not have pharmacies, but that's okay. We're going to keep pushing. So we also may have someone from the Beauregard Health Systems. I still want to say Beauregard Memorial, but Beauregard Health Systems come talk about some of their services, and it may turn into a, I know they have some big building plans for the coming few years. So it may turn into talking about that and tying that into what services they intend to offer with those new facilities. So those are some of the things we're thinking about for a, I called it a Healthy You series, but that is just a working title. Don't expect that to be the real title. So we're trying to find a, and we think we're going to time it if we can for all of these videos to go out like one a day in the week leading up to that COVID vaccine pop-up clinic. So that's kind of our expected timeline.
So this would be in May, mid-May to late May?
Mm-hmm. Yes, it would be mid-May.
Okay. That's good.
Let's see. Another report. Okay, you've got the year-to-date budget report, and it's looking good. I have no real comments other than So far, so good. I am meeting tomorrow with our auditor. So I should, the deadline for turning in her report is June 30th. We're always done before that with this auditor. So I expect that won't, probably before the end of the month, we'll have that one wrapped up. So far everything's going smoothly with that. And then we've also got the monthly report for public libraries and the circulation report. So that's the one that is labeled monthly report for public libraries, and then the one that looks like a printed out spreadsheet. So, and those are, both of those reflect March numbers. Obviously, April just ended. I don't have those numbers together yet. So I gave you-
So Erin, just a quick question on that. About three-fourths of the way down, other monthly measures, traditional reference, I guess that's walk-in or call-in. But what is electronic reference? Is that people using the databases?
It's not the databases themselves. We get some email reference questions, so those are counted there. We do have several reference services, reference digital services that are also counted there. So that would be things like Book Browse is one that's often used to kind of find your next great read. So that goes with reference and readers advisory services. So that sort of thing would be counted there. I'm 98% sure that we count our tutor.com uses as a e-reference request, because it's helped me figure out how do I work through this kind of problem. So those are also counted there.
And library visits, is that in person? Because it's exactly the same last year as this year for the month, which seems weird. I thought the Well, there's 3146 library visits and visits last year, 3124, which seems...
So the library visits, that is an in-person people coming into the library count. And in DeRidder, it's the gates by our front door count it automatically, and we use that number. At the other branches, the clerks have one of those little clicker counter things, and they actually count the people who come in.
But you think that's the same last year and this year? Is that a month last year, this month, and this year, this month?
COVID's been going on a long time.
It's
well, I know, but COVID had shut everything down last April. I don't think we were even letting anybody in the building.
This is March.
Oh, so March, we were still open half the month. Or...
We were open until the 17th of March.
So it was kind
of... Long time.
Okay, so I think those are all of the reports, but I did want to share some, well, I thought it was interesting, information that I came across whenever we were looking at creating the annual report that we have to do every year for the state library. And as I was looking at it, I noticed that if we compare 2020 numbers to 2019 numbers, we expect most of 2020 numbers to just kind of be down the drain because of how the year shaped up. But I was really excited to see that our ratio of program attendance for the YA category in 2020, we had 20 people to every one program. In 2019, it was 11 to every one program. So that turned out looking nice for us. Adult program attendance also jumped, not quite as drastically. It was 13-1 as opposed to 12-1 the year before. And then, not too surprisingly, our e-content circulation was higher in 2020. It was 106% of what it was in 2019. And then our database usage also jumped a lot, which on the one hand is not surprising because of everyone was at home trying to do their studies and work and all any kind of research they needed to do. They were trying to do it from home, so the databases would get more use. But I was surprised at how much. We had 145% of what we had in 2019 seen in 2020.
Well, so in 2019, almost, you also didn't have all the students with their library cards.
Yeah, that came out in technically in October. I don't think we really started seeing any, if we started seeing anything right then, it wouldn't have been until November at the earliest. So we've probably got a little bit in there, but by and large, it was a number that made me happy. So I wanted to share.
Yeah. So Erin, when do you think we would be able to resume meeting for the book group up there, since it's a small group and we meet at night and no one else is up there?
Is if you've that, got, I think in the meeting room, we've got a 10 person limit right now. I would have to check, but if you got fewer than that, you could start booking it now, but it would still need to be in the meeting room, not the media room, because I've still got a lot of extra seating stored in the media room right now.
But yeah, that regular room that we've always used is fine. Is that the meeting room?
No, that's the media room. That's media the one that's got a bunch of extra chairs in it right now.
Okay. Well, that's fine. We can meet anywhere.
But yeah, that should be fine. Okay. If you want to start doing that, let's get in touch with Mary here at, okay, at the DeRidder branch, because okay, she's been handling our room reservations.
Okay. Thank you.
And that's it for me.
Okay, does anyone else have any questions, issues, for the good of the order, anything? Then I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
Mike Harper, motion to adjourn.
Mike wants to adjourn. And I hear lots of seconds already.
Yeah. Hi.
All right, we can adjourn. And Molly, stay on board. Molly, are you still there?
Yes, I'm here.
All right, tell me about the seed program, because I have a bunch of seeds.
Okay, Erin probably could explain it better.
Good night, everybody.